Let's go ahead and call this first ever virtual meeting of the Port Commission to order. So I'm going to formally call the meeting to order at this point at 9:20 a.m. The first thing I'd like to do is ask Eric Erickson to call the roll of the commissioners, staff, and council so we can make sure that we have everybody on the line that's going to be on the line at this point. So Eric, would you go ahead and do that?
Sure. So Commissioner Clunan?
Present.
Commissioner Corgi?
Here.
Commissioner Crusoe?
Here.
Welcome. Commissioner Don Carlos?
Here.
Commissioner Fitzgerald? Commissioner Meese? Okay, we got confirmation he's here though. Roger? Is here. Tom Height?
Here.
Here.
Tom Height?
Here.
And Kenny Friedman.
Here.
Okay, we've got a quorum, so let's move on.
Okay, great. Next, before my regular remarks, I'd like to pass on some virtual meeting guidelines. Please mute your phone when not speaking, and mute the computer and phone audio notifications too. As a default setting, the participant audio has also been muted by our meeting host, Kelly Day. Video has been disabled as well, and the chat function will only permit you to contact Kelly. If a commissioner has a comment to make, please unmute and advise me that you want to make a comment or ask a question. If anyone, I don't think anybody has registered to speak, but if you have, then we will call you out shortly. Roger, I don't think anybody's registered to speak. Is that correct?
That's correct. We have no one signed up to speak.
Okay. If a commissioner drops off from the connection, we are going to continue the meeting as long as we have a quorum, as long as we maintain the quorum. If for any reason that I get dropped off of the call, then I'm going to pass the meeting over to Commissioner Corgi, who will run the meeting if for whatever reason my technology fails me here. I'll group the agenda together to be discussed and voted on. That way we're not going to go through each agenda item. We will not have staff comments at this from each division this month. We'll have Tom Height highlight the major items from each division. And then after I ask for a motion and get in a second, I'll ask for commissioner questions and comments for any of the items in the division section as we usually do. After I call the item by asking if there are any no votes. So instead of a yes vote, we'll just ask for no votes. If there are no votes, I will state that the item passed. I'd like to thank Commissioner Don Carlos for suggesting that we handle voting this way. And when we do our first vote, we'll make sure it works out. Commissioners, do you have any questions about how we're going to run the meeting? Okay, hearing none, I'd like to make a couple of brief comments. We haven't had a regular Port Commission meeting since January, so we have a full agenda today. We did have our special meeting in February to talk about Project 11 and the financing of Project 11, and I'm going to speak about Project 11 a little in a minute. The March meeting was postponed as we were adjusting quickly to the requirements of the coronavirus, which everyone is painfully aware of at this point. We wanted to respect social distancing and didn't really have time to conduct a virtual meeting. And as I said, we have a full agenda today. I do want to first welcome our newest member of the commission, Cheryl Crusoe. Cheryl, welcome. Mayor Turner and City Council appointed Commissioner Crusoe on March 4th of this year. She was officially and privately sworn in on March 17th, 2020. Unfortunate circumstances prevented us to a ceremony for the swearing in, but we will be hopeful that we'll have that ability to do that when we get back to normal. Cheryl is a 35-year industry veteran currently serving as the president and chief executive officer of Wealth Development Strategies, one of the longest standing comprehensive financial planning firms in Houston. We are pleased to have her on the board, and she has jumped right in despite the circumstances and worked diligently to get up to speed on Port Authority issues. Welcome aboard, Cheryl. We look forward to working with you at this really important job. I do also want to recognize and give special recognition to our outgoing Commissioner Theldon Branch. Theldon served on the commission for more than 6 years, beginning in September of 2013. Commissioner Branch's commitment to the service for the port has been instrumental in the recent success of the port, and we really appreciate his dedicated commitment to the board and the staff. And when we get back to a more normal operation, we'd like to bring Theldon in and thank him for his hard work. We really appreciate that. I'd like to talk a little bit about our COVID-19 response. Our port is a core link in the national supply chain, and the commission and our staff continue to move forward with conducting the business of the busiest ship channel in the nation, while keeping the best interest of our employees, customers, channel users, and the community at the forefront during this unprecedented global health crisis. I commend those essential workers committed to safely working on the front lines to keep commerce moving and provide people the critical goods and supplies that they are desperately needing during these difficult times. I want to give a shout out to the frontline employees, people that come to work every single day and are helping us. I also want to give a shout out to the people who are working from home, because even working from home is really critical. We have to pay our bills and make our payrolls and make sure that everything gets done that needs to get done from an administrative person perspective, and that's happening, and I really appreciate that. I'd also like to give a shout out to the ILA, to our longshoremen who are coming to work every day and doing the hard work and the great work on behalf of Houstonians in the port. We really appreciate them and all the others that come to work at the port, other contractors and others that aren't our direct employees. And lastly, I would like to really give a shout out to Roger and his team, because I got to tell you that the challenge of operating a business like we have at the port and keeping it open and keeping our employees safe, keeping our customers coming is a big job. And I've been very impressed by Roger and his senior management team and how they have dealt with issues that none of us have ever dealt with before in this environment with the COVID-19. And I do appreciate what Roger and his senior management team have been able to accomplish in this very difficult time. And part of the ability to continue to do business, it was to continue to process some of the really important projects that we have been working on. And everyone on this call knows that our number one priority prior to COVID-19 was to deepen and widen the channel with Project 19. And that business has continued forward on the same timeline that we thought it would be, despite the impacts of the global pandemic. I'm pleased to formally announce that the Chief of Engineers and the Commanding General of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Todd Semonite, signed the report recommending approval of the Houston Ship Channel Expansion Project. This document is a culmination of a four-year, $10 million study conducted by the Corps of Engineers in partnership with Houston to identify the needed channel improvements and determine the economic value to the nation. I'd also like to give a shout out to Colonel Vail and his entire team for making this deadline. We knew it was going to be in April, and I think that we ended up 1 or 2 days off of the original plan. And for Colonel Vail and his team and the entire Corps of Engineers, a big shout out. Thank you for your hard work in spite of all these things going on at this point. The Let's see here. Securing this this significant approval is a milestone effort, and the current crisis really highlights the need to make sure that we have a deepened and widened channel sooner rather than later. I also want to applaud the team at Port Houston. It involves many. I'll call out a few that you recognize, a few that championed our effort. Rich Burns, Charlie Jenkins, Lori Brownwell, and there are many other team members from the infrastructure division, as well as Spencer Chambers and his team for advocacy for the project. Please pass this recognition on to all the others on the team who work together along with the Corps to deliver the success of future of the Houston Ship Channel. So in spite of all the situation that we're dealing with COVID-19, our teams, both at the Corps, our consultants, and all of our teams at the Port of Houston, were working remotely and also very, very hard to get this to get this major milestone done. So we are right on track where we thought we'd be. We're not done. This is a milestone. So we need continued industry support, continued support from our congressional district, our congressional leaders, and also state and local governments as well, so that we can get this channel deepened and widened sooner rather than later. At this point, let's go ahead and move to the agenda. So item C would be the approval of the minutes of the Port Commission meeting on January 28th and February 12th.
Move to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
If I hear no, is there any no votes?
One abstention.
One abstention. Since you weren't here, Cheryl, I take that's you. Thank you. And since there are no votes, the minutes are approved. At this point, I'll move to staff reports. Roger, would you give us a quick report?
Yes, Chairman, I will. Hey, just to preempt this a little bit, I think I'm going to ask Kelly to unmute everyone so that I think we've got two commissioners that that can hear us, that we can hear them. And so I think we're going to take the chance to unmute everyone, but everybody on this call, there's 116 participants. We need to stay muted out of respect for this. And I think we need to try that at this point.
Okay.
Kelly, can we do that? But I hope you don't mind trying it that way. Uh-oh. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Mute their phone or their computer.
Back to muting.
Is that you, Commissioner Meese?
Yes, back to muting or unmuting.
Real quickly, Kelly, can you identify Commissioner Meese?
I need him to speak again.
May speak again, please.
Kelly, this flash, can you hear me? I can hear Roger plainly.
Okay, I've identified Commissioner Meese.
Hey, Commissioner Meese is identified. Hey, Commissioner Fitzgerald, please, can you speak again?
Yeah. Hello, Kelly, this flash.
Speak again so he can identify, she can identify you. Mr. Fitzgerald, hello. Can you speak again?
No. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I just can't identify you yet.
Okay. This is Flash.
Hey, Kelly is 55. Colin 55 was Mr. Fitzgerald.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to, hey, Kelly, put everyone back on mute. Thank you. Sorry, everyone. Okay, I think we're in order, and now we've identified Commissioner Meese, and if I can, Chairman, excuse me, Mr. Fitzgerald, can we hear you?
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Yes, Commissioner Meese, can we hear you?
I can hear you.
Oh, perfect. Okay, I think we're back on board. Okay, so I'm going to start with my comments. And again, good morning to you all. It's good to get together again, or at least get together virtually. It's been almost 3 months, and obviously a lot has transpired since we last met. We're doing things that we had never dreamed of doing before, and certainly conducting business differently than we ever planned to keep commerce moving through our port. A lot of the nation is making plans right now to return to work safely and reopen business. Our port operations have never stopped. And this coronavirus pandemic has tried its best to disrupt our supply chain, but I got to tell you, our employees and our industry partners and everyone who works at the port have demonstrated a tremendous resolve in ensuring that it doesn't get the best of this port at Port Houston and the busiest waterway in the nation, the Houston Ship Channel. And I just want to commend all the workers at our port, whether they're critical and essential, showing up every day to their job and delivering, or if they are able to continue to deliver business, as Rick said earlier, you know, business as usual through telecommuting for the past several weeks, which we're going to continue to do for probably at least another month. I commend the dedication and willingness to stay the course, and I thank them for their flexibility and their trust as we maneuver through this major health crisis. The Port Houston team has stepped up to the challenge, and I'm convinced we're going to be better because of it. A little bit about the business. We all know global commerce has been impacted, some more than others, some more than us, quite frankly. In the U.S., cargo through Port Houston public facilities has been impacted. Our general cargo business and break bulk business, it actually started decreasing before this pandemic, and it continues to be in a downward direction due to the downturn in the energy sector, very much supportive of the energy sector with import steel and project cargo and those things. So our break bulk continues to be down. Our container volume was down 11% in March, which comparatively was good to some other ports in the nation. But I would expect to see a similar result when we conclude April as well. Much of this decrease is due to the 9 blank or canceled sailings that we've seen, primarily in the East Asian trade lane that we saw during March and April. And we've been notified of at least 5 more blank sailings so far that we know about through June. So I'm not going to speculate what the next couple of months will look like. We're trying to get our arms around it, talking to all of our customers to try to get a feel for what it looks like, but it's too early to call at this point of what the next couple of months will look like. However, there's one bright note. Despite retracting volumes, we received notice and confirmation that Evergreen Container Lines is starting a new weekly feeder service in early May to Houston. This is actually a trans-Pacific service that's connecting to a feeder service in Panama and Kingston, and serving the Port Houston via feeder from Asia. So anyway, that's great news in spite of the downturn in the in the business. Just to recognize also, with the commerce down, our business partners have without a doubt been severely impacted by the downturn. In recognition of this, we are recommending for your consideration several relief measures that are in item F1 when we get to that, to assist our business partners through the crisis however we can. It's not our intent to profit from our customers' misfortune during a crisis such as this one. So throughout the COVID-19 crisis, as Rick had mentioned earlier, our focus has been and will continue to be to provide a safe work environment for all essential workers that deliver every day at our port facilities. to ensure that we have the business continuity for our ocean carriers and customers. We've implemented numerous measures that include things like scanning the temperature of everyone that enters our facilities, personal protection, contracts for cleaning and disinfecting facilities, and social distancing, just to name a few. We've strived to make sure that we protect our workers who deliver quality service to our customers. And there has been no blueprint on dealing with this pandemic, and we've really had to lean on one another to figure out the successful path forward. I think the commission individually for being able, being there for me to reach out, answer questions, certainly open to advice and for your support along the way. It's been very helpful for me and my staff. We've had to act quickly and assertively on implementing a lot of procedures and practices, and then I'm confident have greatly reduced the risk and provided a valuable extra layer of protection that we have for all of our essential and critical workers in our facility. Many emergency managers have been taken for expenditure for these services, for the equipment and supplies that we needed to keep going, and they are as well on the agenda for your ratification. Me using my authority to get these things done. They're on the agenda today. The last thing, put all, we continue to deliver the normal course of business. I echo the comments by Rick about the tremendous step in the Houston Ship Channel improvement process for the execution of the chief's report by the chief of engineers with the Corps. The success of more than 4 years dedicated effort by many, many people on our team working hand in hand with the Corps to make sure that it gets done. And we're looking forward to the authorization by Congress, the completion of the design, and working diligently to turn that first shovel of dirt on this critical project. So appreciate it. Everybody's bound together during this time, and I'm really proud of our team here at Port Houston, and that's all I have, Chairman.
Well, I appreciate that, Roger. And it is an amazing time to see how people step up and take care of business and take care of each other during this, complicated time. I'm going to call on Captain Robert Thompson now. I do appreciate the pilots and the pilots continuing to run their business in a way that, that keeps everybody safe and also keeps the ships moving. So would you go ahead and Kelly, Captain Thompson on the line.
Yes, Captain Thompson, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Remember to unmute your own phone, too. Captain Thompson, are you unmuted?
Kelly's trying to unmute me. It's the wrong person, Kelly.
Okay.
Captain Thompson is, it says Captain Thompson, not Charles Thompson. I apologize, Chairman.
That's okay.
My apologies, he's unmuted.
Captain Thompson. Well, make sure you unmute your own phone, too. I'll tell you what. We will defer until we can figure this piece out. So would you, Kelly, call him and find out what's going on? And in the meantime, we'll just move him to the back part of the agenda. I do want to hear about what's going on with pilots and how they're managing their business. I think it's really important for us to hear that. So what I'll do is move. Let's move to Kelly. We're going to move to the public comments section. And until we get Captain Thompson lined up, and what we'll do is we have two people that have signed up in our public comment section. And we are, this is E1 on our agenda. And we, just to set ground rules, Eric, remind me, we have 3 minutes, 3 minutes that people are able to speak on this. And we will let you know when you've hit that number. So the first person that we have lined up is Leticia Blaza from Air Alliance. Kelly, would you unmute Leticia's phone?
Yes, will do. All right. Go ahead, Ms. Blaza.
Make sure you're unmuted as well.
She appears to be unmuted. And she's online.
Okay, yes, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead. Welcome. We had you. Had you for a second. See you on my screen. Are you unmuted?
Chairman Campbell, do you want to just go ahead with Ms. Thomas?
Sure. Let's see if we can. We'll move Ms. Dr. Stephanie Thomas up. Dr. Thomas.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for being flexible and adaptable in these very different times. I really appreciate all the effort and support in not only keeping our supply chain running and our economy running during this time, but also being adaptable in terms of the public forum here and ensuring this space, even though we can't be together in person. So I do want to thank you all for that. And just really quickly, congratulations on the record of decision by the Army Corps of Engineers. I work for a nonprofit called Public Citizen, and we're a public interest group, and we've been following the Houston Ship Channel expansion, and we would love to talk to the port a little bit more deeply about some of the environmental justice issues and the air quality issues that are present and alive. And I know that you all will be doing more with community engagement around the Port Commission Community Advisory Board, which we're very appreciative that you all have reinstated that. And before COVID-19 happened, we had been having some conversations with some of your staff who've been really easy to talk with. So we're looking forward to having some more continued conversation, and just wanted to say thank you for all that you're doing at this time.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks. We appreciate that. Commissioners, any commissioners have any questions?
Nope.
Great. And I am very excited about beginning the community advisory group again. And the key, hopefully, we'll be able to actually meet in person very soon with proper social distancing and protocol. But we definitely want to make sure that we have great input from the community. We're all in this together, and it's very important to make sure that everyone has a voice. So we appreciate that and appreciate your comments. Are we doing? How are we doing on Leticia Blaza?
She's unmuted.
Did you get with Leticia back?
She appears to be unmuted.
I'm here. I'm not sure. I think there's some. You guys are. Are you guys still not able to hear me? I'm not sure.
We can hear you now.
Okay, great. I apologize.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Letitia. I'm with Air Alliance Houston, and I'm the HPCC, which is the Healthy Ports Community Coalition, and wanted to thank for reinstating the Citizens Advisory Council. My coworker Juan Flores will be accepting the appointment to be a part of the council. We were a little disappointed with some of the lack of transparency in this election process. You know, although we fully respect Ms. Cruzo, we certainly look forward to working along with her. We do a lot of work around the port in regards to air quality concerns and other environmental impacts. We would like for our communities to, you know, be a part of the decision-making process as we move forward. And we would like to have a little bit more, hopefully, dialogue and interaction with commissioners as things progress. And again, thank you for, reinstating the council. And we look forward to working with you guys.
Great, we do. We look forward to working with you as well. Commissioners, any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Sorry to interrupt. This is Ron Farrell. I just spoke with Captain Thompson. He's going to hang up and then call back in a couple seconds with his mobile phone to see if that helps him be able to speak. So he'll be on in a few seconds.
Okay. It's always interesting when we have technology issues trying to get everybody online and muted and all that. We've done a lot of calls and conference calls and WebExes and, you know, over the last 6 weeks, and it's been really interesting. I think everyone is getting up to speed and getting, you know, better at it. But obviously, when you have over 100 people on a line like we do today, it can be challenging. So I appreciate everyone bearing with us, trying to get the right folks and the right lines set up so that we can, conduct this meeting. So is Captain Thomas on yet? Nope. Not yet.
I think, unfortunately, the only way we're going to be able to do this to locate him as a call-in is to unmute everybody and try to identify him if you want to go there.
I tell you what, I think that was successful last time, but it's trial and error, right?
Yeah.
So,
if I may.
Yes.
We just had caller 62 join in. I've unmuted them to see if that's perhaps Captain Thompson. Captain Thompson, can you hear us?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Good job, Kelly. All
right. Good job, Captain Thompson. How you doing?
God, I guess we're not too technically savvy over here.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys are really technically savvy, and you know, to do what you guys do every day, keeping the port running and keeping us safe. You know, you can have a cell phone issue here and there. I think it's actually our technology, not yours. So, but we appreciate you being on the phone today. We appreciate, you know, what the pilots do every single day. And so why don't you just give us a quick update on how things are going?
Thanks, Chairman Capo, for your kind remarks and Park Commissioners. Just like you said earlier, Houston pilots had to develop a COVID prevention and response protocol. It incorporates all the CDC and local health department guidelines. With the nature of our work and the pilot boats, we were very close quarters at all times. We had to learn how to minimize the communal areas and spend more time in individual cabins. We used to have the sharing of a communal meal. We stopped that and began ordering single serve meals only. And unused to what we're all not used to. We're wearing a mask on the boat at all times now, in the galley and the bridge, everywhere we're at, we're wearing a mask. We also keep our other pilot boat, we have it sterilized, then we lock it down, and in case of a suspected infectious pilot or crew, we can immediately bring that dirty boat in and take the other boat out so we can keep ships moving. We put a letter out to the ship's agents recommending measures to keep both pilots and crews healthy. It kind of took a reverse now. We were afraid of them when it first started, and now the ships are highly concerned about us. They're asking us to wear masks, gloves on the whole trip. One of the major things I think that we did that helped us relax and also be safer was we hired a doctor to help us through all the information and misinformation that we're hearing on the news regarding COVID. Our doctor is available through a telemed on a moment's notice to talk to pilots, employees regarding their questions, their health, and their family members, which has been a real relief for our family, our pilots. One final note too that you mentioned on this that we had a little update on Project 11. The Houston pilots, the Port of Houston Authority, G&H Towing, Locust got together at San Jac Maritime last week to conduct a full mission bridge simulations for segment 4 between Beltway 8 and Greensboro. Despite COVID and compressed timeline, we were all able to get together and conduct simulations to a truly well-oiled partnership that serves all of us well. We looked at getting larger ships, the Suez-sized ships, the 900 by 165, into and out of ITC Pasadena, MVP, Texas Deepwater, and Greensboro Terminal. The simulations all went well and concluded that it's possible to move those size vessels above Beltway as soon as the bridge is built and the channels widen. So we continue to move ships. We're down just a little bit, maybe 4 or 5 ships a day. With the oil, probably more of a problem for us right now than the COVID. But anyway, that's how we're doing.
I appreciate that. Commissioners, do you have any questions for Captain Thompson?
Mr. Chairman, it's Clyde. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I'd just like to say for a moment, Robert, we want to thank you for everything that you've done. I know that all of us had some trying times when this first started, making sure that our people were safe and getting the job done. But, you know, we have to all pull together to get these ships in and out, particularly in times like this where the products on those vessels are needed by the community. And so we all had to do our part, but y'all did an excellent job. And on behalf of the men and women of the ILA, we want to thank you for all the cooperation that you added to this. And I know, Robert, that sometimes the carriers don't always tell you, the container guys, but they notice whenever you do something special, and it's in their minds that you guys went out of your way to make things continue to operate. And I just want to thank you for it.
Well, I appreciate Clyde and commissioners, but I think it's just doing our job, what we're supposed to do, and we sure appreciate the comments.
Chairman, I'd like to add a comment if I could.
Go ahead.
Robert, on behalf of the seafarers, we appreciate cooperation with the simulation with the tugs and the ship. That's a vital link that we work hand in glove, and it's worked out real well, and I think it really increases the safety and efficiency in the port. So we appreciate you guys working with us.
You know, that's our job. We all work together. Couldn't do it without them.
Any other comments or questions? I'd like to just add one quick update on the new pilot commission. Just so everyone recalls, legislature last year separated the port authority or the port commission and the pilot commission. There was a new pilot commission that has been set up, and they had their first, I think, formal meeting perhaps in just before the end of the year and right after the first of the year. And we are continuing to, so there are no Houston port commissioners on the pilot commission today, except for one, which is me. I still am the pilot commission chair, and we are working on a transition plan to move sort of the operational aspects of the pilot commission to the new pilot commission. We had hoped to have that all completed by the end of June. That given the current situation of not being able to meet in person, and having people focused on other higher priorities, it will we're at risk of not getting it completed by June. It is our intent to move to a new pilot commission, including a new chairman, as soon as we can. But we don't want to negatively impact the work that needs to get done on the pilot commission, supporting the pilots going forward. So we will not drop the ball on that. But in fact, it's likely to be delayed. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there for information purposes. Captain Thompson, you have anything to add to that?
No, I appreciate your comments. We look forward to working with the new commission. Working with you guys is always great. We'll get through this somehow. It's been a little slow, but we'll get through it.
Okay, great. Any other questions or comments from Captain Thompson or commissioners? Okay, we will now move into the meat of the meeting. The agenda will start with item F, the executive side. And again, I'm gonna just to remind you, let's remind how we're gonna do this. So I think Roger, you're gonna discuss the first item, and then after that, Tom is gonna go through. We're going to group the items. Tom's gonna hit the high points, and then if there's any questions about the items, we'll talk about them after there's been a motion and a second. We'll discuss the items at that point, and then we will have the vote. And what I'll do again, just to remind, is I will ask, are there any no votes? And if there are no votes, then the item will pass. So Roger, why don't you take executive item F1?
Okay, Chairman, thanks. And F1, just as a reminder, commissioners, it was not in your printed book. It was a late entry prior to the agenda being posted. So it is a measure that we're recommending to the commission. As I mentioned earlier, with a downturn in the economy, our customers certainly are suffering from as well with loss of volume, loss of revenue. So we have put together some things that we're recommending to do proactively for a period of time initially, which includes extending the payment terms, deferring interest for basically 30 days for customers who are on our tariff as well as our tenants. We also have talked with a lot of our customers and for a period of time offer extending the free time on import container storage to help them that there as well. And the other thing is really to penalize someone because of the COVID-19 virus. Each of these carriers on the container side have a marine terminal services agreement with us, and their volume dictates what their rate is. So we have offered to just hold in place their volume incentive levels. In other words, if we don't want them to have to pay more if their volume goes down for the next 6 month period. So we are asking and recommending that we approve that as well, so that we'll have that measure for them so they don't pay more if their volume decreases for the next 6 months. That summarizes the item that we're recommending for the commission.
So moved.
Is there a motion?
Second.
And a second?
Okay. Second.
Any discussion or questions? If not, do I hear any no votes? Hearing no votes, the item passes. Thank you. We'll go now to agenda item G, and we're going to have you're going to take us through G10, and then we're going to combine G1 through G9.
Correct. There are 10 items in commercial. The first 9 are just standard marketing issues and other lease and lease amendments. G10 is, back in 1990, we sold some property to Deer Park, about 48 acres. We did not sell 1.5 acres. We can't find any reason we didn't. It was part of a deal, but it was never executed. So we need the commission to declare that 1.5 acres as surplus so that we can sell it to the city of Deer Park, who wants to use it to put a community center on it. It has no commercial value to us. So we are asking you to approve G1 through 10.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Are there any questions about items G1 through G10?
On item 4, this is Commissioner Don Carlos. I'm on that board, so I want to abstain from the vote on 4. The rest of it, I'm in favor of.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. If not, do I hear any no votes? Commissioner Don Carlos is abstaining on item 4. Are there any no votes? Hearing none, the item passes. We'll go then to Tom. Why don't you just keep rolling?
So finance, there are 4 items. Two of them are just the commission approving our audit and our investment practices, which by statute we have to file with the state. So you are going to approve them, and then we will file the actual reports. The item I want to get into a little more detail is H3, and that is to get the authority to refund about $310 million of outstanding general obligation bonds with the county. We have had discussions with the county, and we're ready to move forward with it. These items are up in, they can be refunded in October, but you can start as early as July. So we are asking for that authority. This will bring a net present value to this Harris County of about $80 million savings in debt service payments. So I'm asking for approval for H1 through 4.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, is there any questions about items 1 through H1 through H4? I just want to point out that refunding is all about saving the county money, and ultimately the Port Commission doesn't get any of the value from this. It's really for Harris County, which is all good since Harris County needs funds. So if there are no other questions, are there any no votes? No votes. These items pass. Tom?
So infrastructure has 41 items. The first ones I want to talk about are I-1 through I-3, which is the repair and construction of Wharf 9 in the Turning Basin, which also includes the construction phase services agreement and the material testing agreement. That totals just above $6 million. I also want to highlight I-15, which this will make Commissioner Don Carlos happy. We are finally getting to the point where we are finalizing the interlocal agreement with Harris County, the city of Galena Park, and the city of Jacinto City for a sidewalk along the east side of Mercury Drive. We will be responsible for 1/3 of the cost, up to $100,000. Then we have items 17 through 23, which are all associated with Project 11. Similar to what the chairman said earlier, we continue to work on all the projects associated with Project 11. And so we are highlighting these. Some of them are for access to our Beltway 8 property so that we can take down the trees, and we can, there's some ammunition bunkers from World War II so that we can use that property for some disposal area during Project 11. We are also asking for some staff assistance in terms of auditing and engineering with the $28 million design project that was approved not too long ago. We have an additional need for funding for additional Corps of Engineer money to make sure they continue to work on this project, as it's still not technically a project till it's funded. And finally, we're asking the commission to approve an interlocal agreement with Harris County for the purchase of wetland mitigation credits for Beltway 8 property in the cost of about $1.5 million. So what I'm asking is for the authority to approve I-1 through I-41.
So moved.
Motion.
Second.
Is there any questions, commissioners, for these items? The only thing I would point out is just to make sure people understand about the additional core funding. So we as a commission approved $28 million of funding to design Project 11. Normally that $28 million would be paid by the Corps of Engineers and partly by the Port Authority, but it wouldn't be funded or even ability to start it until the Project A was approved by Congress and then ultimately appropriations from the federal government for the Corps to work on it and to spend the money on the design. We elected as the Port Commission to fast forward the project to go at risk for the $28 million and to fund the Corps of Engineers costs associated with managing the $28 million. And again, this is an area where the Port believes fundamentally, and our commission believes fundamentally, that we need to get Project 11 done sooner rather than later to improve commerce in our area. And so we're willing to go at risk for this money in advance of when it would have been otherwise approved by the government, probably at least another year or two. So with that, any other questions?
Just a quick comment, Mr. Chair. And Tom is right. I'm very pleased on item 15, Commission. If y'all remember, this is a big safety issue for the city of Galena Park and Jacinta City, two of our small communities along the channel, where they had some kids in a dangerous situation riding bicycles between the two cities. It goes right through our disposal site there. So that's where we got involved. We were asked by the mayor of Galena Park if we would help them with this project. So I'm very, very pleased after I think it's 4 years that we finally have gotten to this point. And thank y'all for bearing with us on it.
Never say never.
Great. Any other comments? Are there any no votes for item 1 through 41, I-1 through 41?
Do we have a motion?
We do have a motion and a second.
Okay. All right.
So would commissioners go ahead and move again, because Eric didn't get who did it.
Move. Second.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So we are now looking for no votes for items I-1 through I-41. Do I hear any no votes?
No.
Hearing none, the items pass.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So operations has 11 items. First one I want to discuss is the purchase of scales for the new Barber's Cut gate. For the purchase and installation, it's all part of the $40 million gate project. The second one is our annual purchase of vehicles for all PHA departments. We are purchasing 70 vehicles this year. Our total number in the fleet is about 400. So of those 70, 55 are replacement. And when I looked at it, we have about 30 of those are from before 2006. So some very old trucks that we have been using that now need to be replaced. And finally, a good story is we are asking you to approve the purchase of an electric yard tractor for Bayport. This is fully funded by a TCEQ grant. They started with a grant to look at ways that we could cut air emissions, and this was the most practical. So now they are giving us some funds to purchase one and make sure that it can handle the workload of what a container terminal requires on a yard tractor. So what I'm asking for is your authorization on J1 through J11 in our operations group.
So moved.
Second.
Are there any questions or comments? Are there any no votes? Hearing none, the items pass. Okay, we are now to people, and under people, we must stop this meeting, the Port Commission meeting, and open a hearing on this that is required by statute. So we are formally suspending the Port Commission meeting and opening up a hearing on this item and its changes to Port Houston's defined compensation program. Just a little bit of background, the compensation committee met the last time it met. We went through analysis of sort of the competitive aspects of Port Houston's programs relative to others that we compete with for talent, and we made the decision as a committee to improve these programs, and I'll let Jessica, I think Jessica is going to talk about this, correct, Tom?
Yes, if there's any questions.
Yeah, but basically what we're doing is improving the defined contribution program by lowering, you know, making the vesting shorter and increasing the contribution levels based on what's in the book. You want to talk about any more, Tom or Jessica?
No, but I don't know, Eric, did anybody sign up to speak at the hearing?
No.
Then I think we're good to close the hearing and go on.
Commissioners, do you have any questions about the hearing, about this item? We'll vote on it in a minute, but while the hearing's open. If not, we'll close the hearing. So the hearing is closed, which is required by statute. We'll now reopen the Port Commission meeting at 10:18. Tom, you want to just discuss it a little bit more?
Yes, the effective date of these changes will be May 1st. As you stated, we are dropping the vesting from 5 years to 3. And it's a cliff vesting, so it's automatic after 3 years. And then we've just increased the contribution levels, which started at 3.5 before and went to 7.5 after 20 years. Now we're going to start it at 6, and it's going to cap out at 8 after 20 years. The other thing that is in here outside of some cleanup wording is we are making a commitment that every 5 years this program will be reviewed to make sure it's still a competitive program. The other item is just our software program for our talent suite and learning management. So I asked for the approval of K1 and K2.
So moved.
Question?
Yes.
So I may have missed it, but so the fees are going to be reduced?
It'll be increased.
No, the what we give to the employees every payday will be increased. So what we do,
the fees that they pay.
The employees don't pay any fees. This is all a direct contribution from the port to a 401 in the employees' names.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, commissioners? If not, do I hear any no votes? No, hearing none, the items pass. Tom?
PSEO, we have three items. The first two are just to increase purchase orders for standard work that we do. One, a spill cleanup that when the port's responsible. And the other one is we had a pre-existing emergency account, which we used some of it for the original cleaning for the COVID-19. So we need to get that purchase order back up to where it needs to be so that if something happens during the hurricane season, we're ready to go. The one I want to talk about is the item that Roger alluded to in his statement. We have been spending money through a statute from the state that allows you, the commission gave Roger and I emergency authority during times of this type of issue, that we can spend more than $50,000 as long as we notify you in writing, which we did through Eric, and then we ratify it at the earliest possible time. So what this item is we're asking you to ratify about $1.3 million that we have spent. And as Roger said, it was on testing, it was on cleaning, and different items like that, supplies, obviously. So we're asking for that ratification. And then we're also asking you to approve two new purchase orders. One for a cleaning company, so we have an established purchase order that as we clean, we can use. And the other is to continue to buy supplies, so we're asking to establish a purchase order for that under your authority. So I'm asking that you approve L1 through 3.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments from or questions from commissioners?
Rick, I'm not a commissioner, but can I just add to what Tom said?
No.
Just this 1.3 million, just so everybody understands, I mean, that those are committed dollars, I believe. Correct, Tom? Some of that we've even are asking in advance for money to continue the temperature screening program through May. So some these are expenditures and commitments. At some point, we don't know how this is going to go. We don't know how long a screening process is going to take, outside disinfectants, but we're working on those on longer term solutions. But I just wanted to point out the fact that some of this is approval to keep going on for the next month till we get our arms around some of these expenditures.
Commissioner Campo, can I add something?
Sure.
Yeah, just for your information, the ratification in general isn't required by the statute, but staff believes that it's best for purposes of transparency so the public is aware of what our purchases are.
Okay.
Good.
Commissioners, any other, or staff, any other comments or questions? Do I hear any no votes? Hearing none, the items pass. Last but not least, technology.
So there are six items in technology. Five of them are purchases of standard licenses and support services that we do on a yearly basis or every couple years. The one item that I would like to bring up is the M2, which is the purchase of about $1.3 million worth of IT equipment, software, subscription, support things for the new Barber's Cut gate. So again, we're buying scales from earlier, and now we're buying the technology pieces that we need for this $40 million project. So we are asking you for authority on M1 through M6.
Motion?
So move.
Any questions or comments? Any no votes? Hearing none, the items pass. Okay, just check me here, Tom. That should be everything, right?
That is correct.
Okay. All right, well, we do not have an executive session today. At this point, I would just like to take the opportunity to thank the commissioners for being on the line today. This is a interesting time and complicated, and I'm glad that that we're able to take care of the port's business virtually, even though we have port people working every day non-virtually, I do appreciate all of our frontline employees and everyone at the port continuing to do a great job. We have, and I do also want to again welcome our new commissioner, Cheryl. Thank you for being here, and very unusual time to try to get up to speed on the port, but I appreciate the hard work that you have done so far to get up to speed, and I know you are, and I appreciate that. And then just one last sort of shout out to the entire port community, the ILA, the pilots, our teams. You know, you're making us proud. We really appreciate it. I would also like to, and I'm going to open this up for the commission to have some comments too, if you'd like. Our next meeting is on May 20th. It is likely to be a virtual meeting, given the governor's reopening of Texas by the 18th. I think he's saying that retail and malls and other services will be at a 50% occupancy. And I think that given the 100 plus people that we have on this call, I think it'd be hard to social distance at that point. So we'll make that decision when we get there, but it's likely to be a virtual meeting based on just what we see today. So I appreciate everything that the team has done and this commission has done. We've hadn't missed a beat, and that's really important. So, commissioners, do you have any comments or closing remarks?
Mr. Chairman Platt.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to, and excuse me if I miss my opportunity to make this statement at the right place, but I'd like to back up just a minute. I want to thank Roger and his staff for coming up with the plan to relieve the container carriers of a little of their cost and expense during this time that we're facing. As we all know, with the oil, unfortunately, the way it is today, the carriers right now, the container guys, are more or less carrying this economy for the port. And by helping them in this time of need, I think it's a good thing for the port to do, Roger, and I just commend you for that.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Commissioners, any other comments? Hearing none, I'll take a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any no votes? Hearing none, I close the meeting.